Well, Prince William, like many of you, was expecting to actually have a very, very busy Christmas. His son, Prince George, had finally figured out what Christmas is all about. Prince William wasn't expecting to get any sleep on Christmas Eve because Prince George is hyperactive and so bouncy and excited. But they were expecting to go to church in the morning, to open presents in the afternoon, and have a very busy day. But how about you? I wonder how you will be spending your Christmas day. But did you know that there are actually 26 other royal families in the world, ruling over 43 different nations? I'm going to just let you know a couple of interesting facts about some of these royal families. In Saudi Arabia, the royal family has 30,000. Can we have the slide, please? There are 30,000 members in the royal family in Saudi Arabia. In Cambodia, did you know Cambodia had a king? Greenland is part of the Kingdom of Denmark. And then many of you know that England, the Queen Elizabeth II from England, she's the longest reigning monarch in the UK. She's been reigning and ruling for 63 years. Swaziland, close to my home. King Mswati III is one of the youngest ruling kings in the world, and he has, wait for this, 300 stepbrothers and sisters. Brunei. The Sultan of Brunei, Istana Nurul Iman, Dan even mentioned this in one of his sermons, has the largest private home. This is his palace. He has 1,788 rooms in the palace, 257 bathrooms, 110 car garage, 5 swimming pools. I just need one. Air-conditioned stables for 200 of his polo ponies. That's a pretty big place. How about Thailand? King Humibol, he's actually very loved. But beware. If you say anything bad about him, you can be thrown into jail. And in 1880, the queen in Thailand was actually drowned while her subjects looked on because they were forbidden to touch her. Malaysia. Malaysia re-elects one of its sultans every 5 years. And finally, Japan. Japan has the oldest continuous hereditary reigning monarch in the world, dating back to 660 BC. And the current emperor is number 125 emperor in line. But from our reading today, we see that when Jesus was born, Judah already had a king of the Jews, and his name was King Herod. He was both loved and hated. But I want you now to take a moment and ask you to imagine with me three fancy men riding into town on camels, asking a very poignant question. Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? Huh? Can you imagine? But they already have a king. It's King Herod. So why are they talking about this other king? Who is he? I'm sure the whole town were also wondering, fancy people on camels? Where did they come from? Why are they talking about a new king? And there started to be whispers and murmurings. And finally, it reached Herod's ears. He heard rumors that there was a new king who had been born. Well, I think Herod must have gone to the Magi and said, Magi, come along, come. You have to come have some dinner with me. I'd love to get to know you. You look like very important people. The Magi come. Can you imagine King Herod getting them nice and comfortable in the palace, making sure they had plenty of cranberry juice? How about a leg of turkey? How about some of my wife's yummy Christmas mince pies? He made sure they're nice and comfy. And then he dropped the bombshell. He asked, where is this king you are talking about? From our reading, we can see that King Herod was not very happy. He was actually very disturbed hearing this news. But surely you can understand how he must have felt. He didn't want to be replaced. He didn't want this new king to one day take his throne. How would you feel if you were in his shoes? I can understand how King Herod must have felt. When my twin sister was 18 years old, she fell in love. And I was very scared, insecure, I felt threatened, and I probably had many of the same feelings that King Herod had. We were inseparable growing up. We went to the same classes, we liked the same hobbies, we had the same friends, we even enjoyed dressing the same until we were 12 years old. But now that was all threatened. I can really identify with King Herod, and maybe you can too, because none of us want to be replaced. None of us want to hear that we are replaceable. In the story, we see that King Herod then called all the big guys. He called the chief priests and the rabbis and said, I need to find out who is this new king and where is he and what's going on? So he did ask them where the Messiah was to be born. Then the shocking news came and all of King Herod's fears are realized. For scripture clearly showed that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, in Judea, right where he was king. Verse 6, it says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. It's actually amazing to see that from the beginning, God had a plan to send Jesus to be king and savior. He already started this plan way back and started telling people way back in the Old Testament. In Numbers 24, verse 17, Balaam spoke of a star and a ruler that will come out of Jacob. And because of scriptures like this, the wise men also knew that the star they saw was the star signifying the birth of a new king. But it's also interesting, did you notice that it wasn't just Herod who was disturbed by this news? All of Jerusalem was disturbed. When Jesus was born into the world, people immediately began to react. There were many mixed feelings. His presence didn't soothe and comfort most people. Instead, it actually startled and disturbed them. In some, he awakened spiritual longings. In others, fear and insecurity. And this still happens today. For some, hearing the good news of God sending his son Jesus into the world to save us, it still startles and still disturbs. Or it leaves some people feeling fearful and insecure. We are not called to worship Jesus for what he can give us. We are called to worship him for who he is. Later on in the story, we see again that this is just what the Magi did.
After leaving King Herod, they followed the star all the way to Bethlehem. They found Jesus. By this time, Jesus was about 1 or 2 years old, and they presented him with gifts that were always given to kings in those days: gold, incense, and myrrh. And they bowed down and they worshipped Jesus for who he was. S.M. Lockridge wrote a poem. He was a pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, a prominent African-American congregation in San Diego, California. And I'm just going to read some excerpts from the poem to you. This is what the Bible says about my king. He is king of the Jews. He is king of Israel. He is king of righteousness. He is king of ages. The king of heaven and glory. He is king of kings and lord of lords. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the only one who qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and saves. He understands. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He serves the unfortunate. He blesses the young and regards the aged. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out that they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault with him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Kingston, the man my sister fell in love with, eventually became her husband. But instead of trying to replace me and take my sister away from me, my brother-in-law was offering to become my friend too. I had an invitation to accept his gift of friendship. In the same way, Herod was afraid that this newborn king would one day take his throne, he completely misunderstood the reason for Christ's coming. Christ didn't want Herod's throne. He wanted to be king of Herod's life. Jesus wanted to give Herod eternal life, not take away his present life. Today, we are often afraid that Christ wants to take away things, when in reality, he wants to give us real freedom, peace, and joy. This Christmas, will you open your heart to Jesus, the King you need?